Hello and welcome. This is going to be a direct address to men. Now, I'm not going to follow any direct structure with this video. This is straight from the heart. But what we're seeing now is the cracks beginning to appear. It's going to take many years for any change to be effected on behalf of males, but the tide of consciousness is shifting, even if it's manifesting itself solely in confusion and anxiety. Now, questions will inevitably follow, and men and women are now asking those questions. Look at the kickback against feminism. Even though the motivations of these women against feminism, as they call themselves, are still all about keeping men in the role of the human ATM machine. Now, feminism is impinging on their gravy train. I mean, it's become a dirty word. But no need to say it out loud. It's part of the social fabric now. So, why say fuck you to male rights when you can say it with a smile on your face? Yeah, pandering to the male urge to act as provider. But the truth is, the majority of men, they perceive themselves through a societal and female filter that's leaving them emotionally and psychologically eviscerated. I mean, if we look at the drivers behind male identity, behind male self-perception, behind actions, we see this damage on a daily basis. I mean, what is a man's purpose? What drives men? What drives men to have sex? To create, to feel affection, to be altruistic? Though, is anyone ever truly altruistic? It's never something for nothing. But in today's world, men are sounding boards. Every answer they give, every insight a male shares, is open for judgment. I mean, this insight or answer has to conform to a stereotype that demeans or disempowers him. And if he doesn't conform, he's then the omega of the pack, an outsider to be excluded or derided. Now, he's a threat. And these messages that men receive, shame them, it steer them away from developing and embracing a healthy and empowering model of masculinity. You hear the messages, you can't get laid, you're a loser, you live in your mother's basement, you're just angry, whatever. And these messages, they destroy a young man's self-esteem. I mean, you look in the eyes of many a young man today, you see it, that deadness, that fear, that sadness. Just waiting for someone to reach out to them. Just so they can slap that hand away. Just so they can say, fuck you. Just so they can finally feel some degree of empowerment. And anyone who levels these negative messages or directs a shaming language at males, they're not to be trusted. Because such a person is on the defensive, they're scrambling. I mean, these messages, they manifest internally. And then they play in a boy's head for years and years. I mean, then they're then played out in his life. And then the fallout of this internalization is then in turn blamed back on the boy. I mean, just look at the school system. Boys are mocked for falling behind girls academically, instead of looking at the reasons behind this. The education system, it went through a major overhaul in the 1990s. And classrooms are now pressure cookers of misandry. Masculinity is a dirty word in schools. I mean, the messages I was fed as a boy, they were hateful. It was a constant assault on masculinity. Indoctrination camps, brainwashing males into a life of servitude and self-hatred. And the bogus statistics and propaganda of girls suffering in some male-dominated and aggressive education system. They were fabricated by feminists, and this led to this overhaul and criminalization of boys in the classroom. I mean, everything has been done to ensure schools and college campuses are now unsafe and unwelcome places for males. I mean, just look at the Duke LaCrosse case, and numerous others. I see a young man heading to school in the morning, or walking on a college campus, I see cannon fodder. Yeah, blissfully unaware of just how precarious their freedom and their futures really are. And on the home front, I mean, you see it every day. Yeah, single mothers and spousal projection, damaging boys' development. You're causing them to grow up with so much rage, so much resentment, shame. Yeah, how can a man ever feel competent or worthy of love if he's never been deemed worthy of his mother's love? If all he's ever been to his mother is a utility. Yeah, a mother's love. Yeah, maternal love. Yeah, I haven't seen much evidence of it. I mean, I've seen tremendous affection from fathers towards their children, but very little of it from the mother. I mean, it could be successfully argued that maternalism is a falsehood. You know, the overwhelming majority of murders and abuse perpetrated against children are committed by mothers. These statistics, they're readily available. I mean, if you look at the statistics from the US Census Bureau or the Department of Health, the Center of Disease Control, the Department of Justice, the Department of Corrections, so on, you see close to half of American children are in single mother homes. You know, they're the majority of youth suicides, they're the majority of runaways, kids with behavior disorders, they're the majority of rapists, dropouts, addicts, pregnant teens, borstal boys, you know, inmates, the list goes on. Are all products of a single mother conveyor belt of dysfunction. I mean, you want a blueprint for a fucked up adult? Put a child in the hands of a woman. Then remove the father through the courts, and there you have it, a walking time bomb. Yeah, men, they may not identify this manipulation by the mother until much later in life, if at all. Yeah, the burden of guilt, of shame, of regret that comes with it. I mean, this manipulative behaviour by his mother, the constant judgment and so on. I mean, we have males constantly trying to win their mother's approval with every relationship. You know, projecting hate, anger, insecurity onto every female. But most men, I mean, they won't even entertain this idea, due to the stigma it carries. You know, a fear they'll be seen as mother's boys, even for identifying how this related to their own experience. Or they'll just become defensive and go on the attack. I mean, you question a man's mother and see the result. Your mothers are a protected species, even if said mother was an abusive tyrant, you know, who sought to finish the emasculation job on him she couldn't finish on his father. And this is how men live, you know, seeking identity and validation through the female filter. I mean, it really is a rabbit hole. Yeah, it's interesting that the old adage of the absence of the male provider model is still marched out, you know, still trotted out to explain the feeling of despondency or lack of purpose that males face today. I mean, when I was growing up, fathers were seen as fools, as suckers, as the fat spineless slob from any generic sitcom. I mean, it wasn't something that myself or any of my peers ever aspired to be. I mean, many of my peers, they did get married, and they became what they despised. And they've done their best to find meaning in a dark, vacuous hole. Male despondency, I mean, it goes far deeper than a tired stereotype that evokes pity rather than enthusiasm. But it's no mistake. I mean, everything is always being tied back to the male as provider, and the female as the prize. Yeah, and a recycled prize at that. But what is a man without female validation? You know, what defines a man? If you look at it, social structures, traditional relationships, they're crumbling. And males, I mean, they're attacked and demeaned at every turn. And these risks, you know, and the negatives that are, I mean, they're forcing men to reevaluate their perspective. I mean, if any degree of investment equates to diminishing returns, men will take their money and their productivity elsewhere. I mean, they'll find their own way. But, I mean, more times than not, I mean, it's men retreating into the solace of addiction or violence or isolation. I mean, the legs have been kicked out from under them, and all they're trained to do is turn that anger and resentment inwards. Then we all pay the price. You know, the family court, the legal system, false accusations, paternity fraud, you know, a whole milieu of risks that men face daily. I mean, men can't negotiate. They can only mitigate. And even then, it's out of his control what happens next. I mean, it's still dependent on the word of the female. Yeah, a woman points her finger and accuses a male. The burden of proof is on him. And even if he proves his innocence, the burden of guilt is still there. Now, question being, what is your freedom worth? What is freedom? Yeah, most men, they've never experienced it. They're still locked into proving their worth to females. But men, they need to adopt the same survival instinct as the female, you know, to become a survival mechanism. Because there is a war against males. Yeah, make no mistake. I mean, there are more males speaking out online, but we have to understand this is not a safety net. Yeah, we need to pick our battles carefully. We need to be able to navigate our environment. And awareness is the key. So no, we're not going to shut up. I mean, it can be argued. It can be argued that monogamy is a modern social construct. I mean, men are attracted to sexual variety. Now, in the absence of variety, men's libidos will wane. And there's studies showing that men's testosterone levels decrease. They decrease while they're in long-term relationships. And, you know, strict sexual monogamy, it's not a facet of any animal species. So it's not a natural condition for males. But of course, you know, we've all seen it. you've seen talk shows, you know, the husband on the couch being attacked for having a low libido, you know, the sexually empowered wife wanting more action in the bedroom. And the shaming language, it gets leveled at him. You know, you're not a real man, you need to grow up. You know, you're hurtful and hateful of women, you're not emotionally invested. Yeah, a whole industry of people making millions off this fabricated lie and the shaming of males. I mean, if you look at it, yeah, the male orgasm is said to generate as much dopamine as a hit of heroin. I mean, that's the power of sex. But both bodily and mental arousal, they work together. You know, sex equals control. And sexual guilt, I mean, it's a very effective means of breaking a person. You know, you think about it. If you're spending all your time denying and fighting your internal urges, you know, shaming yourself in the process, and living in a state of perpetual guilt, then you're ignoring your real needs. It's not a great way to achieve balance in your life. And our actions, I mean, they're influenced by biological drives, you know, driving us to or away from stimulus. I mean, if you don't connect the dots, you're a nether ape. You're a slave to your biology. Now, our perspective, you know, the first step in our mental and social development, how we perceive ourselves, and how we perceive others, is based heavily on the environment we're raised in. I mean, you look at studies, I mean, they show a violent home life has the same effect on a child's brain as combat soldiers suffering severe post-traumatic stress disorder. And this is never looked at in regards to boys. All they ever receive is the finger of blame. And if we're validated, If we're validated growing up, we develop trust, we formulate a positive identity. And our behaviour is a reflection of how we're perceived. And if our early experiences are negative or they're hostile, then that's how we will perceive ourselves, others, and the environment we're living in. And you know, whether we're worthy of love, of affection, or positive experiences. And whether our environment is safe, is a safe or a dangerous place, you know, a place where we want to be an active participant in, or where we want to hide away, or lash out against. And internalization's it's become a bit of a buzzword. But there's no group that internalizes self-hatred better than men. You know, men deny their natures, they deny their sex drives, they self-deprecate or they castigate other men for expressing their masculinity. And they convince themselves to the point of pathology that they are, that they're unworthy of love, that they're unworthy of women. I mean, I've heard men state that they are lower than dogs. The same men who feel only disgust towards their own bodies, who underachieve just to fit in, or who attack self-aware men, or who deny men and boys are facing discrimination. And then they act out. These men, they self-harm, or they get violent, or they lose themselves in drugs, or they get depressed, or they become the stereotypical sitcom male. I mean, you know, a walking joke, you know, suppressing and ignoring their own needs, you know, experiencing sexual shame, you know, believing everything they think or do is deviant. These men, I mean, they engage in unsafe sex, or they run away from feeling affection, and they see any expression of emotion as weakness. And what happens? They end up committing suicide. They work in unsafe conditions. I mean, the list goes on. And it's men settling for far less than what they're worth. In trying to broach the subject of how men are active in their own persecution, and active in the erosion of their own basic human rights, I mean, you're challenging a lifetime of learned behaviours and conditioning. And not many men have the strength to face that. I mean, if everything is wrong with young boys, you know, if men and women are conditioned to believe that masculinity is harmful, is shameful, or something to be corrected, I mean, we're limiting boys to a very limited scope of identity. And we're setting them on a path to act out or self-destruct. Or we're forcing them into retreat. You know, we're forcing them to sit on the sidelines, as it's the only safe option available. You know, instead of defining a new purpose for themselves and putting their own needs first, instead they live a life of impoverishment. I mean, you know, the questions that are never asked by men themselves is, what are the positives of masculinity? You know, what makes me feel good about being a male? You know, what are men truly like? You know, the truth, not the hurtful messages with no basis, but the actual truth. You know, what's difficult about being a man? What are the challenges? You know, how have I been hurt by other men? I mean, you ask those questions and you will see clearly that a smear campaign against males has been in full swing for decades. I mean, we have two crutches. And both of these crutches, they relate to value. Yeah, internal value. Internal value comes from self-esteem. But externally, it comes from our networks and from our family. Or, failing that, from attention-seeking behaviours, you know. Essentially, conforming to a role that gets you the validation that you need. Now, many men, they fit into the second category. A performing monkey that depends on the validation of women so they can generate some degree of self-worth. And there's different theories of motivation. You know, that people are motivated to do things because of rewards, or they do it to reduce tension, as their real needs aren't being met. Or that we do things to either increase or decrease our levels of arousal. Because once we get our basic biological needs sated, you know, the prime motivation then becomes about fulfilling our potential and how we define it. And as you can see, I mean, men are conditioned in every way possible to conform and repress. So that question, it never gets raised by men. You know, I've seen it. I've seen it from men and boys. I mean, their external environment is so harsh. So what happens? They retreat, or they respond with aggression to what they perceive as a personal attack against them. And the deeper the repressed pain, the faster and more violent the response will be. And everything is perceived as a threat. Yeah, even empathy. Empathy, it's seen as feminine or weak. And, I mean, their male identity is so rigidly defined to such a shallow definition that any challenge to it must be met with aggression. And when a man's that conflicted and he's burdened with so much stress, so much fear and anger and shame, there's no room for empathy, especially for himself. Now, there's quite literally a war raging inside of him. Everyone is looking to do him harm. And yes, I mean, it's an avoidance strategy. So what happens? I mean, the male, he misses out emotionally, he misses out intellectually. And their internal self is already on such shaky foundations that the boy never had time to process or heal. So now the man is in a state of hypervigilance, seeing threats everywhere. I mean, do you know how exhausting that is? You know, keeping up that image. I mean, all it does is feed a male sense of shame and self-loathing. I mean, these men have no idea of what their own needs are. I mean, if you look at PUAs, you know, pickup artists, or many young men in general, you know, most never grew up with any clear purpose as men. Now, getting a woman knocked up or nailing as many females as possible became their benchmark for manhood. Now, seeking solace and validation through the female, and they found themselves staring into an empty well. I mean, these are avoidant and escapist behaviors. And it's running away from the core issue. Now, that being that our belief system and the messages we've been fed as males are wrong. You know, designed to keep us in an impoverished state, mentally and emotionally. And it's cognitive dissonance. Because men, they lie to themselves constantly. You know, they paint a picture in their head that they're privileged, and everything is roses. And men do this when the issue of female nature is even brought up. I mean, the truth is too painful, and too discordant with their own established way of thinking. And there's been a lot of talk recently, shaming attempts directed at MGTOW, men going their own way, painting them as angry, as full of rage. But there's an important difference between the acting out of anger and the physical experience of anger within the body. But, I mean, anger is important. It's a man's internal guide. I mean, the majority of people, they're terrified of their emotions. You know, they do everything they can to avoid or contain them. Most men have spent their entire lives repressing their anger, and it could have been a reflexive response to a parent's behavior or their environment. You know, it's kind of like playing dead. And it's a practical tactic to avoid inciting more violence or avoid inciting more abuse. So we become fearful of intense feelings. We conceal, we repress. It was a survival strategy, but that anger, more often than not, as we get older, it takes different forms. Forms such as depression, or it contributes to a cycle of behaviors and mental processes that restrict or harm us. And that anger that's driving all of this, is never addressed. It never worked through, so we resolve nothing. And all there is projection. And everyone is coloured with the same brush, so the cycle, it never ends. But anger. I mean, anger is a vital tool. And without it, a man can't defend himself or define his goals. And he will have no boundaries, no sense of outrage. Now, anger is our guide. I mean, if we ignore that voice, says males, we will pay the price. Because there's no safety net for men today. I mean, if you're not angry over the treatment of men and boys today, if you can't define what is acceptable and what isn't, you're already a walking casualty. You're part of the problem. I mean, you show me a man running from his emotions, and I'll show you a man that's suffering. I'll show you an isolated man. You're limiting his opportunities, disregarding his rights and his dreams. A walking doormat, soon to be a walking statistic. Yeah, a man living in fear, as opposed to a man experiencing and processing his anger, I mean, they're far more likely to suffer health-wise. I mean, studies validate this. Your fear will eat a man from the inside out. A man has to have boundaries. He has to stand for something. Now, even in terms of making informed choices, when you feel a sense of indignation, when you feel anger, I mean, you have a better ability to decipher between arguments or points of view. I mean, without anger, a person can be easily swayed. You know, I mean, you can better identify what's important to you, because it pushes you, it drives you, to find others that support your search for truth. I remember that scene. That scene from the movie Network. You know, Howard Beale standing up in front of a TV audience and chanting, "I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore." I mean, in that scene, he addressed his audience and he said, "It's like everything everywhere is going crazy. So we don't go out anymore. You know, we sit in the house and the world we're living in just keeps getting smaller and smaller. And all we say is, please leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and I won't say anything. Just leave me alone." Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. You gotta say, I'm a human being, goddammit, and my life has value. I mean, men are finding the truth, and they're finding support from other men in a safe environment, where they can finally express their anger and their pain. They're experiencing their anger and they're processing it. It's men's ticket to emancipation.